Good morning. How are we doing?
Morning.
Good to see you this morning. Good to have you here with us. We are in the last week of our series entitled, You Make Me Crazy. And what I'm going to do today is to summarize all the stuff that we've talked about so far as it relates to like the crazy maker people that we have in our lives. And so I'm calling the message, Keeping the Crazy Makers from Making You Crazy. And so then next week, we're going to begin a brand new series entitled The Greatest Stories Ever Told, which are going to be about the parables that Jesus spoke about. And so that's where we're headed in the weeks to come. To get us going this morning, let me just recap what some of these difficult people are like. And you could probably list 100 different things that I could go over here. I'm just going to limit it to like 6. So go ahead and take your note sheets out. You can follow along with me as we take a look at this. So how do you deal with these difficult types of people? And then we'll dive into how to keep them from making you crazy. So number one is people that are demanding, right? These are the people that are they're pushy and they're controlling in every area of your life. They're intimidating, right? They dominate conversations. They make unrealistic demands on your life and your time and your schedule. And they just push, 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 right? They're like the little dictators out there. Then the second kind is disapproving, right? These are the nitpickers. These are the ones that pick, 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 pick. Right, they're highly critical. You can't do anything right. They always want more out of you, and they tend to be negative and judgmental. Right, they love to point out your mistakes and disapproving crazy makers. No matter what you do, it's just not good enough. Which then what drives you crazy, right? The third one is deafening, and these are the loud people. And not just loud, but they talk, 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 and they talk you into surrender. And finally go, you know what? You just go, I give up. Right? And these are the people that absolutely love to argue. And then the fourth one is destructive. And these people have uncontrolled anger issues. They're like a volcano. You never know when they're going to blow. Right? They have a temper like Mount St. Helens. Right? They blow up and they explode and they leave a lava path that makes you want to walk on eggshells all the time, right? And the family lives in fear of when the next blow-up is going to happen. And so tons of tension, and the casualties are high. The fifth one is discontented. And these are the crazy makers that get their feelings hurt really easy. Right, they're touchy and they're thin-skinned, and they throw pity parties, and they're just chronic complainers. Right, they get their attention by whining, and it just kind of grates on your nerves. Right, they're never happy. And then the last one, the sixth one, is the kind that are demeaning. Right, they're always running their mouth. They're rude. They're insulting. They try to burst your bubble all the time. They tear you down. They love to deflate you, right? They just take the joy out of life. And they're disrespectful, they're petty, and mean. And by the way, people that are rude all the time, they are rude because they have a tremendous amount of insecurity in their life. The more insecure a person is, the more rude they tend to be. And so what I'd like for us to consider today, as we conclude this series, is I'm going to summarize what we have been talking about for the last 5 or 6 weeks now, and how we should deal with these kinds of people in our lives, right? So I'm going to give you 6 ideas this morning as we walk through this. Number one is to refuse to be offended, right? And what I mean by that is not to take things personally. No matter what they say or do, no matter how outrageous their behavior is, I just try not to take it personally. And by the way, that is like super hard to do, right? It's not easy to do that. But the reality is when people are coming at you and they are doing all of the 6 things that I just talked about, they really are revealing themselves to you, not anything about you, right? They are telling what's in their heart and not yours. And it says a lot about who they are. And so try not to be offended. They're just a crazy maker, right? The truth of the matter is, is that there's a lot in life that we should probably be offended by, right? Like, I'm totally offended by the injustice in our world. I'm offended by the fact that people go hungry. I'm offended by babies whose lives are being taken before they're born. That offends me. I'm offended by the exploitation of sex and women who are exploited for sex trafficking, right? I'm offended by that. And so there are a lot of things that we should be offended by. But when it comes to personal relationships, God says we need to, as much as we can, try not to be offended by other people. And really, if we wanted to have super thin skin, then everything and everybody would offend us, right? And so what happens is you go through life and you're just like an unhappy person. And when we have to learn that emotional and spiritual maturity is largely determined on how we treat those people that mistreat us. So let me say again, how mature you are emotionally and spiritually is largely revealed in how we respond. How do we treat those who mistreat us? Do I get even? If they hurt me, do I hurt them back? If I get insulted or they get angry, do I do the same thing back to them? How do I respond? It determines how mature I am. And so how do I handle those kinds of people? And what we need to pray for, I think, is that we need to pray, God, give me a tender heart and thick skin. Because usually we have the opposite. Usually we have thin skin and a tough heart. And so God says that, know that you should always have a tender heart. And we need to get thicker skin sometimes. And so when somebody's rude to you, and you know that they might maybe be having a tough day, we need to get some thicker skin. And so how do we keep from taking offense at the crazy makers in our lives? Well, one way is to consider the source, the fact that they are a crazy maker, and we should just try to ignore a lot of it as much as possible. Proverbs 12, verse 16, the vexation of a fool is known at once, but the prudent ignores an insult. In other words, a foolish person, when they are irritated, they let everybody know about it. Wise people, though, they ignore the insult, right? They look past the insult, and they look to the behavior behind it. And I've said this over and over during this series, that hurt people, right? They're fearful and insecure, and so one way not to be offended is to understand the person's past and why they are the way that they are. Like, did you just get out of the wrong side of the bed, or did you have a fight with your spouse, or is your business going bankrupt, or, you know, what is the pressure? Well, what's causing them to do and say the things that they do and say? And so we look past the behavior and we look at their pain to understand. And the more we understand somebody's background, the more grace we're able to show them. And really what I'm talking about here is to love them, right? The Bible says refusing to be offended by other people is actually an act of mature love. Proverbs 10, verse 12, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. Right? The more I'm filled with love, the less I'm going to be upset when you are demeaning and demanding and disapproving or whatever. So the first step here to deal with the crazy makers is to choose to refuse. Refuse to be offended and try not to take it personally. The next step is to don't wait for an apology to forgive them. And I think a lot of us have some crazy makers in our lives who have done some pretty hurtful things, either to us or somebody that we love. And so in our minds, we think, I know what the right thing to do is. I know as a Christian I should forgive, and I will do that, but I'll forgive them as soon as they apologize. That's kind of what we think a lot of the times, right? And by the way, it has to be like the right kind of apology, right? And then I will forgive them. The problem with that is that we're holding on to the hurt. And the truth is that they may never say, I'm sorry. right? Because they're a crazy maker. They don't get it. And so what happens, you end up, you hold resentment over something that they have like long forgotten, right? And it just begins to eat you up on the inside. And so never hold on to a hurt. Resentment is like you drinking poison, hoping that it'll kill them, right? It just doesn't work, right? It'll never work. And so you need to decide right now that you're not going to wait for an apology to forgive someone. Because a lot of times that apology never comes. And so we just need to forgive. And Jesus said while he was hanging on the cross, and talk about an extreme circumstance, Luke 23:34, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Right? That they don't know what they're doing. And so Jesus recognized the blindness of his enemies in his prayer. Now, that doesn't excuse them of the guilt of those who put Jesus on the cross. But Jesus puts his enemies in the best possible light in his prayer to the Father. And the thing is that we need to show love by praying the same way. And when we pray like this for our enemies, we make this promise to God to forgive, and not to the person who has wronged us. Right, we can't make that promise to them because they will not repent. But making that promise to God, we keep our hearts free of the cancer of resentment. And so when I have a hard time forgiving a crazy maker, and I think at some time in our lives we all struggle with forgiving. But when I have a hard time, I remember Colossians 3 verses 12 and 13. And Paul's talking about putting on the new self here. He says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience." And then look at verse 13. "Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive." Verse 13, not a bad verse to memorize here. Right, the phrase there, bearing with one another, means to endure, to be tolerant, to make an allowance. Basically, it means that we cut some people some slack. And Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy." Right, so one of the ways we receive blessing is by being merciful. It also keeps us from being resentful as well. So don't wait for an apology to forgive. And then number three, refuse to gossip about them. And this is a tough one with crazy makers. Let's just admit to that this morning. Right? When you have some crazy maker doing some crazy stuff and they've done it again and again, right? It's like almost impossible not to get into your car, get out your cell phone and call somebody. Right? Like you won't believe what they just did. Or you're texting as they're doing it, right? That's what we want to do with crazy making. We want to tell someone, we want the affirmation from a third party that this is in fact crazy. And I don't know about you, but I'm guilty. Proverbs 17, verse 9, "Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends." And so when I disregard somebody's faults, that's not loving. And when I gossip about somebody, that's not building them up. That's not bringing a relationship closer together. Gossip, by the way, is when you share information with somebody who's not a part of the problem or the solution. Right? They just don't have anything to do with it, and I bring them into the situation. So basically what? I can feel better about me, right? And it's incredibly destructive. It's destructive to individuals, to churches, to families, to businesses, you name it. It's just not good for anyone. 1 Peter 3:9 tells us, "Do not repay evil for evil, reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing." So if we apply that to this area of gossip, the point is that if we gossip, God's not going to bless that. If we have right conversations, then we get God's blessings, right? It's up to us. All right, let's move on to the fourth way to deal with difficult people, and that's to refuse to play their game, right? So after we do these one through three kind of things, we refuse to play the game. Crazy makers love to argue because they love to get your attention. And if we fall for that, and we start to think things like this. If I could just clearly and logically explain to them what they're doing, they're going to realize how destructive they are and how inappropriate their behavior is. If I can just reason with them, then we can make progress. Here's the thing. Crazy makers don't come to their position through reason. Right? You can't reason with them. You can't talk somebody out of a behavior they didn't talk themselves into. They got there because of an emotion, not because of logic. And so you just don't play the game. Right? Jesus didn't play games with people. Jesus had crazy makers in his life. They were called the Pharisees. Right? There were these religious guys who didn't like Jesus. They were always trying to get him to say the wrong thing, always trying to get him to make a mistake. They were always questioning, always probing, always playing mind games. Jesus simply wouldn't play their game. Matthew 22, verse 18, but Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why put me to the test, you hypocrites?" Right? Talking to the Pharisees, and they were up to their old tricks, trying to talk to Jesus about taxes to be paid to Caesar. And Jesus is like, I'm not playing that game. He's not going to be drawn in to an argument that's going nowhere. Another example is Jesus before Pilate. Pilate starts to ask him a bunch of his little tricky, sticky questions, right? Well, like, so you say you're the king of the Jews. Like, so who are you really? He would ask him. Or he would say, what is truth? Bible says that Jesus did not say a word to Pilate. Right? He wouldn't answer him. Why? He's not going to play that game. You're just trying to drag me into this argument. And people will believe about you what they want to believe, and you can't talk people out of positions that they don't arrive at by logic. Right? I have people say stuff about me all the time. Right? They don't know me. They might think they do, but they don't. And yet they say stuff all the time. The Apostle Paul would never be drawn into playing games with these kind of people either. 2 Corinthians 4:2, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to every conscience in the sight of God. And what Paul is saying here is that he rejects anyone who preach the gospel, and then they would add stuff to it, right? Or they tried to dilute the gospel in some way. And Paul would never handle the gospel in a deceitful kind of way, right? He's not trying to trick anybody into making a decision for Christ, or he's not trying to trick anybody to get a huge crowd, right? He would speak the truth, right? He's just not going to fall into those crazy things and play those kinds of games. And we shouldn't either, right? We shouldn't allow ourselves to get sucked into those kinds of arguments. Proverbs 26, 21 says, as charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. Right? This is the person that likes to keep the argument going. Right? And crazy makers want to engage you in the argument. That is, that's where they find the meaning in their life, right? Their value. When you get upset and you play into the game, that's they like that. And so just don't get drawn in. And how many people does it take to have an argument? It takes two, right? And so if one person walks away, what happens to the argument? The fire goes out. Right? And so you just don't engage with a quarrelsome person. The fifth step is to refuse to cave in. Right? You just don't give in to their demands, what they want. The crazy maker who is demanding or demeaning and all that kind of stuff, you just don't cave into that. You don't allow them to manipulate your life, right? Love is not allowing people to manipulate you. Manipulation is unloving to you. It's unloving to God. It's unloving to them. Love is not giving in to manipulation. It's not the loving thing to do. So as believers, sometimes we think we just need to give in and kind of let them do whatever they want to do just to kind of keep the peace, so to speak. And we let the crazy maker kind of run all over us. And what happens is a lot of times we become a doormat. And I don't think there's anything in the Bible that says that we should be a doormat. We are to forgive, but forgiveness and trust are two different things, right? We forgive, but trust takes time. Forgiveness we're commanded to do. Trust is earned. And forgiveness doesn't mean when you hurt me, I forgive you and then you can do it all over again. No, that's not what that means. We forgive, but trust is built over time. Okay, so the Bible talks about not caving in. And here are some examples. Let's just say at work you're asked to do something that violates your conscience, right? It's wrong and you know it. You feel pressured and manipulated to do it. So what do? Or what? Maybe you're given a schedule at work where they ask you to work on Sundays for the rest of your life, right? And you're not able to come and worship anymore. Well, what do? Well, what if, I know what you do, you go to Saturday night service or another one, right? But just, it's an example, right? Well, what if you're at the Little League game and you hear some other parents like bad-mouthing Christians or a particular church that's solid, right? Do you keep your mouth shut? Do you cave? Or would you say something? Here's what I know about the devil and what he's trying to do and how he's trying to mess us up. In 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, right? Seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith. Resist comes from two Greek words, means stand and against. And so Peter's telling us to stand against the devil. Don't let him lie to you. Don't let him intimidate you. Don't let him threaten you. Right? And it's exactly what crazy makers do, right? They try to intimidate you by making you feel like you've offended them by their lies and their threats. And Jesus is no stranger to this stuff either, right? It happened all the time to him, right? The Pharisees were always trying to restrict Jesus, right? You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't heal on the Sabbath. What are you doing? Right? And they would get so upset. Look at Matthew 15. We'll start in verse 12. He says, then the disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? I mean, can you imagine? I hear this. Just think about this for a second. Disciples coming up to Jesus, right? The Son of Man, the Son of God. Hey, Jesus, you might want to reconsider what you just said. Right? It's a little radical. It's a little over the top. It might be a little edgy. Do you realize you just offended the religious people, the Pharisees? Do you know what Jesus' response was? Let's keep reading, verses 13 and 14. He answered, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. And let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a pit. Of course he knew he offended them. Right? It's part of the point. And really what he's saying here is what? Just ignore them. Jesus tells them that these religious people, the Pharisees, the legalists, right? Just don't let them do that to you. Let them hang themselves with their words and beliefs. Don't play their game. Refuse to cave in. Just ignore them. All right, last one this morning. Last step on how to handle difficult people. Always take the high road. Right? We always want to do the right thing even when they do not. When they insult you, you treat them with kindness. When they're unloving to you, you be loving to them. If they're resentful, you'll be forgiving to them. Right? You always take the high ground no matter what they do. Right? Not easy to do. Right? Not easy to do. You and I can't control what other people think about us, what they say about us, or what they do to us. But we do have control over how we respond. And we can respond with grace and love and kindness. Romans 12, verse 14 says, bless those who persecute you, and bless and do not curse them. And maybe you're thinking that maybe you don't have anybody in your life that's persecuting you, you know, in that sense of persecution. Kind of maybe replace that word with we should bless those who like make us crazy, right? Ask God to bless the crazy makers in your life. Those are the people that irritate you. And don't ask God to curse them. Ask him to bless them. Then there's Romans 12, 17 and 18. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all, if possible. So far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. What would happen if we just followed what the Bible says to do with crazy makers in our lives? Because we're not taught this way, right? Society says if somebody's mean to you, if somebody stabs you in the back, what do? You don't get mad, you get even. That's what you do. If somebody is in your life who is demeaning and demanding and destructive or disapproving, what would happen if we refused to be offended? Yeah, what would happen if we didn't wait for an apology? We just forgave them. We didn't gossip about them. We didn't play their games. We didn't cave in. We just took the high road. And we loved them no matter what. What would happen if we did that? I think God would bless that. Right? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word today. And God, you know the crazy makers that are in my life. You know exactly who they are. And so, God, I'm asking you that even though they hurt me, would you use that for good in my life? God, give me the courage and the boldness to share the gospel with them. To share who Jesus is and what he came to this earth to do. To save us from our sins. To give us eternal life. So God, would you give me the wherewithal to forgive? Give me wisdom in all of my relationships. And Father, I realize there is no way I can do this on my own. So Jesus, I need you in my life. I need your power in my life. So God, this is my prayer. I pray this is the prayer of everybody who's here. That we might be a people here at New Creation Fellowship who will reach out to our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that we would show them love. And by that love, they would know that we are your disciples.